tonight, this morning. Amen. You want the Lord to come down and fill your cup.
Yes, amen.
I know we all have needs in our life, and there's only one person that can come down and do that. That's Christ. Amen. Well, you may have your seats here tonight, this morning. Amen. I'm not used to preaching on Sunday mornings, but I'm going to ask my wife to come up, and she'll mind playing for me if that's possible. If not, I can play. It's up to you. Well, it's certainly an honor and a privilege to be here. I wasn't coming up here to preach. I didn't have to work yesterday, so I told my wife, you know what? We're going to Arkansas to see Matt and Brittany. And, well, when they're eating at the pastor's house, they got to tell them who the guests are. And here's how the pastor found out, and here I am. So, do y'all have that song, I'm Amazed, in your... Yes. Amen. Let's see what I sing. One of my favorites.
Man.
Amen. Let's try it, Gene. Oh, no one knew how alone I was feeling. And the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you, I was covering up the secret tears I cried. Then one day someone told me of your mercies and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died and purchased my redemption. When you broke sin's power, set my spirit free. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood, I found pardon. And my sins are washed. They're all washed. There's been days when I failed you. Have you had those days? Lord, you know many times I've gone astray. But Lord, I learned your love stronger than my weakness, than my weakness. And your ear is open every time. Are washed away. just got done celebrating a holiday, you know, the birth of Christ, and to find out what the true meaning of the birth of Christ really was. You know, the world's made it a holiday where they can get off work, or they can, I know old my guys at work with get drunk and all this stuff, you know, but we forget what the true meaning of Christmas was all about. But it was when Christ came down to earth as a form of a child, and he died for you and I. That's what Christmas was all about. If it wasn't for Christ coming down to earth, well, we wouldn't be able to stand here today.
Right. That's
right. So when I sing that song, it touches my heart because I see where God brought me from.
Yeah.
And what he did, the sacrifice that he betrayed for me, I think we ought to be able to sacrifice a little for him.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
I got one more song. I told the pastor that I sing when I'm nervous, that trying to get all the butterflies out. So, do y'all know that song, You Are God Alone? Do y'all have that? It's one of my favorites. I believe it's C. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your hand. That's just the way it is. For you are God alone. From before time began, you are on your throne. You are God alone. To give us the strength that we needed to go through the journey.
Thank you.
You are God alone, and there's no other God before you. There's no other God that can stand before the mighty great I am here tonight, this morning. Lord, as we get ready to go to your word, I'm asking, Father, that you'll bless the remainder part of this service, Lord. Bless everything that's said, Father. Just take me completely out of the way, Lord. Have me speak something that could benefit your bride here this morning. Bless the reading of your word. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, if you have your Bibles here tonight, I'd like to turn to Ezekiel 33, starting at verse 1 through 8. I'd like to say, once again, it's definitely an honor to be here. And, you know, I ain't a lengthy preacher. I ain't a deep preacher like your pastor and brother, Daniel, I'm sorry. And, you know, I feel like these are the shotgun preachers, and I'm up here with my little water gun. But I pray there's something that I can say that can benefit you. Let us realize the age and hour we're living in.
Yes.
Tonight. So if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
It says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring a sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of the coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning. His blood shall be upon his head, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman seeth the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way, to turn from it, if he turn not from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul.
Amen.
And also, one more passage of Scripture, you may have your seats. 1 Corinthians 14:8. When you're there, say amen. It says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle?
Amen.
Amen. You may have your seats. I didn't know if I could get some water. That's
a super water underneath there.
Oh, I'm sorry. There it is. All right. Amen. Do you love the Lord here this morning?
Amen.
Amen. But I believe the bride in this last age has a sacred responsibility.
Amen.
The bride is the only one who knows what has taken place and the reasons behind it.
That's right.
Through Scripture and from a prophet, amen. We have a concept of what has taken place and transpired, amen. So it is our responsibility to be able to warn the people of what has taken place.
Amen.
If it wasn't for a prophet, I believe we would be like the rest of the world, living in fear. Ain't that right?
Right. Yes, that's right.
But Brother Branham taught us that fear is a spirit.
Right.
And we should be able to live in victory. Ain't that right?
Right.
But we can see the world and the chaos the world is going through and the pandemonium that is striking. And we can see biblical prophecies being fulfilled. Ain't that right?
Right.
Earthquakes in diverse places. We actually had an earthquake there in Pawnee. A few weeks back, it rattled the church. I mean, it felt like our church was going to come down. But the people are living in fear. They're scared of what's going to happen next.
Right.
But the bride is the only one that can stand there and be able to warn the people of what is taking place.
Right.
And if I had a title tonight, it would be The Last Age, The Final Warning. And we understand that let's say I see someone in danger, and I found out that Brother Daniel, you have to pardon me. I found out that Brother Daniel at a certain time on Thursday, at a certain time his house was going to be robbed. And as a good abiding citizen that I am, I would run over to his house and warn Brother Daniel what was to take place. Now, Brother Daniel knowing me as a friend, He would take that into consideration. Okay, well, this is what's going to happen at a certain time. Well, I'll be here ready for it. Well, let's say a complete stranger just found out that Brother Daniel here, his house is going to be robbed, found out where he lived and what time it was going to be. Well, he rushes over here and says, "Sir, you don't know me, but your house is going to be robbed at a certain time." Now, Brother Daniel, not knowing the person, could say, "You know what? Psh, that's all right. Yeah, whatever." Uh-huh. And his house be robbed.
Right.
Or he could take heed to the warning.
Yes.
And say, "You know what? I don't know this guy, but he's looking out for my wealth being.
Yes, sir.
I am going to take heed to the warning."
Yes.
So he goes and applies the warning, has a shotgun or whatever you want to use. And when the stranger or robber breaks in, he is there to stop anything from being stolen.
Right. Yeah.
The warning was taken to heart.
Yes.
Therefore, that stranger has given the warning. If anything would have happened, it wouldn't be on him.
Right. Yeah,
Isn't that right?
Right.
Amen. It would also be inhumane of me not to grab a child that's about to walk in front of a car. Ain't that right?
Right.
It's in a mother's nature. It's her instincts. When I don't care if it's her child or not, she would break down a wall to get to that child before it gets into the way of danger.
Right.
I believe it's God's instincts to warn the bride of what has taken place.
Yep.
It's not in God's nature to let the righteous go through the same tribulation as the unrighteous.
Right.
So God therefore sent a warning to warn the bride of what was to take place and what was to happen.
Right.
Once God does something, he always continues that pattern, doesn't he?
That's right.
Hebrews 13:8 says, "He is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." So once he does something, he continues that pattern. Ain't that right?
Yes.
And we can see that pattern all throughout the Bible, how God always sent a warning before judgment.
Yes.
Brother Branham taught us that, didn't he?
Right.
He said before God ever strikes judgment upon the earth, he first sends a warning to the people.
Right.
And it's up to the people to take the warning to heart or to reject it and go through tribulation.
Right.
Ain't that right?
Right.
But we can see Noah preached 120 years that it's going to rain. How would you like to hear your pastor preach for 120 years in the same thought?
Yeah.
Amen. 120 years, I could imagine the congregation hear the first thought. You know, he first gets out and says, "It's going to rain." But people don't know what rain is, do they?
Right.
Never heard it.
Right.
It's not scientifically proven. So it's a new thought. So the people are rushing to it by the flocks. Reminds us of how they rushed to Brother Branham, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Something new. Yeah. He's doing miracles. He's reading the people's hearts. It's something new. But when it came to the third pull, what happened? People pulled away. They couldn't accept it.
Right. Right.
But after time went on, after hearing this week in and week out, year after year after year, the millions that were there at one time slowly went down to 8 people.
Yes, yep. That's right.
But the message was still the same. It is going to rain.
Amen.
God gave a thought to Brother Noah. And Noah portrayed it to the people. He was a messenger in that day to pronounce a warning. That judgment was coming. Get prepared. Ain't that right?
Yeah, right.
He built an ark of safety. We can see Moses going down to Egypt. Brother Branham called him a one-man invasion, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
Moses went down there to Egypt to pronounce a warning that if you don't let God's people go, that judgment and tribulation will strike the land, didn't he? What happened? Pharaoh failed to heed the warning, and judgment struck the land. We can see Jonah, as he went to Nineveh, he had a warning, repent or be slain.
Right.
What happened? Nineveh heeded the warning. We also have one more. There's many illustrations you can go through. But when those two angels went down to pull Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, when they were going out of the city, the angel said, "Do not look back." What happened? Lot's wife's heart, being full of the world, she looked back. She turned into a pillar of salt. They say that she is still there as a memorial.
Yes.
So you can see what happens, that if you don't heed the warning, judgment will take place. Yes. Ain't that right?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Do you love the Lord here this morning?
Amen.
Amen. But we find out that God always has a mouthpiece. When he's about to pronounce judgment, there's always a man that rose up in the Bible as a prophet, as a seer, as a someone that could see what was to take place. See if that right?
Right.
But Brother Branham taught us that God is a spirit. God needs a body.
Right.
God can't come down without a body.
Right.
He needs hands. He needs a mouth. He needs feet to do his business. Ain't that right?
Yes, sir.
We can see when God came down to Abraham, he had a body of Melchizedek. Ain't that right? He was veiled in a body. When God came down to earth, he was in a body of Jesus Christ. Ain't that right? You can look at John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And you go to verse 15, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Ain't that right?
Amen.
God always has to have a body to work through.
Amen.
And if you want to go to the same sense, Satan needs a body to work through as well.
That's right.
Right. Well, Brennan said, Satan can't do nothing unless he has a body. He has to have someone willing to subject their mind, their soul, their thoughts to another higher power.
Right.
Ain't that right? Anyway, it's not what I'm preaching on tonight, this morning. But we realize that in the Old Testament, when Moses went up to see God, Moses had to come down with a veil. Ain't that right?
Yeah, that's right.
The people looked on the face of Moses and said, ah, veil your face. So Moses had to have a veil when they came down from the presence of God. Ain't that right? But each age had to have a messenger with a God-given ability to see what had happened, what was going to happen, and what was taking place now. Ain't that right?
Yes.
Paul was the first age messenger toward the people. And this morning I have a lot of quotes in Scripture, so if you'll just bear with me, I'm going to take my time.
Amen.
Like I said, I'm not a deep preacher or a lengthy preacher, but this is something the Lord laid up in my heart, so if you'll bear with me,
Amen.
We'll get through it, I promise.
Amen.
If you have your Bible, select your turn to Colossians 3 and verse 8. Paul being the first age messenger, this is what Paul's message was to the people. And we're going to go through some scriptural how Paul warned the people of what was to happen. Amen. But Colossians 3 and verse 8, when you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. He also says in Acts 20, verse 28 through 31, says, take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul knew what his responsibility was to the first church age, didn't he?
Yeah.
Also, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1 through 2, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So we see through each scripture we read, Paul was given a pretty strong warning of what was to take place in this hour, wasn't he? Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Is that right?
Right.
But your neighbor said it's going to be good. Amen. We can see Martin Luther rose up in his age with a message of deliverance.
Right.
Ain't that right? The just shall live by faith.
Right.
Each messenger was given a little portion of God in their very age, wasn't there?
Right.
But in this last age, every portion of God that was given through the first six church ages is now in the fullness of God in the bride.
Right.
Everything God was in those ages, he is today.
Yes,
ain't that right?
Amen.
Amen. Ain't that right? But no longer do we have a portion of God, but we have the full thing. We wouldn't know about all this except a prophet would arise. Ain't that right?
Right.
That a spiritual understanding would be taking place in this last hour.
Amen.
Amen. Things that was to take place and was to come. He warned the little bride of what was to take place. Amen.
Amen.
Also, Brother Branham warned America too, didn't he?
Right. Yes.
He could see the Spirit then, and he could see what was going to happen in the future. Is that right?
Amen.
Don't you think America knows what is going on? I think America does know what's going on.
Yeah.
Everyone's saying God bless America, but how can God bless something that is already cursed?
Right.
Amen. I'm going to get ahead of myself for a minute, but Brother Branham predicted, I should say, in 1956, he said, I predict that this year America will either accept it or reject it. Right. Is that right?
Yes.
He stood up in 1962 and he said, I predicted in 1956 what was to happen. He said, that very year America rejected her day of grace.
Right.
Is that right?
Right?
Brother Branham described America as the boy in the graveyard, whistling through, knowing something is going to happen.
Yes,
that's right. Well, they're trying to build up their courage, so they're whistling through the graveyard. Ain't that right?
Amen.
Out of scripture, I wanted to read. I found this, and I thought it was fascinating. But if you would turn Isaiah 9, verse 8 through 12. Amen. Appreciate your patience here this morning.
It's all right.
Isaiah 9, verse 8 through 12. The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people should know, even Ephraim, and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of their heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. Ain't that right? The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him, and join his enemies together. The Syrians before, the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched. And still, we see Israel here saying, out of the stoutness of their heart, we will rebuild with something stronger. Ain't that right?
Right.
Says the bricks have fallen, but we will rebuild with a stronger stone, a hewn stone. The sycamores are cut down, but we shall plant a stronger tree in its place. A cedar tree, ain't that right? But God said, out of the stoutness of your heart, because you failed to heed the warning, judgment will take place. Ain't that right?
Yes.
Amen. I have looked up hewn stone. This is what I got. It's a dressed stone, or one hewn, or cut from masonry, shaped by cutting, or by a chisel. Israel's attitude is, we will build something stronger, something better with us. You know, I found this fascinating, so you just have to bear with me, but the day after 9/11 took place, Senator Majority Leader Tom Daschle, in his floor statement, said this. He read this same scripture after the attack took place. But there is a passage in the Bible from Isaiah that I think speaks to all of us at the time such as this. And he says, the bricks are falling down, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we shall change them and to a cedar tree. Senator John Kerry said, I believe, excuse me, that's not one of the things I'm going to read just yet. But what I think is funny is Israel was going through judgment. America took this very scripture and used it as a sign that they will rebuild stronger when that scripture was used for judgment.
Right.
America used the same scripture just to pronounce their own judgment.
Right.
Showing that God's prophecy will not go void.
Right.
If Israel was out of the will of God, judgment took place. It's funny, America rose up, 9/11 took place because judgment was striking the land. Yeah. And they took that same scripture showing that Israel was going through judgment as a sign of blessings.
Yes.
But God won't bless something that is already cursed.
Right.
Ain't that right?
Right.
But Senator John Kerry says, I believe that one of the things we should commit to with federal help that underscores our nation's purpose is to rebuild the towers of the World Trade Center and to show the world that we are not afraid, but we are defiant. A news article stated for 3 months, the 16-acre site had the look of post-World Acute, a World War II Berlin, which the buildings was reduced to a pile of bricks.
Yes.
Ain't that amazing?
Yes.
Just how they said in their heart, the pile of the bricks have fallen, but we shall replace them with hewn stone. Ain't that right?
Yes.
I'm just going through here real fast, so forgive me. But on July 4, 2004, was the start of the Freedom Tower. How many heard of the Freedom Tower?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, Senator, or the Governor George stated this, today we lay the cornerstone for a new symbol of this city and this country, and our resolve is to fade in the face of terror. Today we build The Freedom Tower. Can anyone tell me what they laid for the foundation? A hewn stone.
Right.
The same thing Israel did in the pride and the stoutness of their heart. We will rebuild stronger. We will be defiant. No matter what comes our way, we will be a modern, changeable army. Is that right?
Right.
But what happened? America is doing the same thing Israel did all those years ago.
Right, sir. That's right.
Amen. I thought that was fascinating.
Amen.
Amen. That's free. That's free. I thought that was good. Amen. But when the towers were hit, they said that a sycamore tree was struck down not too far from where the towers took place. They pulled up that sycamore tree. You know what they put in its spot? Anyone tell me? A cedar. A cedar. The sycamore was cut down. They put a stronger tree in its place.
Right.
A cedar tree. Just showing how defiant America has become.
Yeah.
That judgment is here.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Amen.
Judgment is striking the land, friends. But there is only one group of people that is knowing what has taken place.
Amen.
That is the bride.
Amen.
So you see the sacred responsibility that we have. That we have to warn the people what has taken place. Just because God has rejected a nation doesn't mean He's rejected all the people.
Right, right.
There is still someone out there that needs a warning. Amen. But why do you think this is happening to America? They rejected her day of visitation.
Right.
Is that right?
That's right.
They rejected the warning. They kicked Christ out of the homes. They kicked Christ out of the schools. They kicked Christ out of government. And what happens when that hedge is no longer there to protect you? The enemy can't get in.
Yeah.
Ain't that right? That's what the scripture says. When you bind the strong man, the enemy can get in.
Right.
Ain't that right?
Right?
What happens when a family kicks Christ out of the home? Satan can come in. Dad always taught us that this word right here is a hedge of protection around the family. If your family stays in the hedge of protection, your family will bless and be prospered and be protected. But once you get out of the Word of God, the hedge that was there, Satan can come in and make a heyday out of life. Can't he?
Right.
Amen. The hedge is cut down and everything and anything can come in and get in the way. Bear with me here this morning. But what do you think happened to all the schools? I mean, I'm just going through. I was reading a book called To Pray or Not to Pray. I don't know if anyone's ever read that or not. It's a fabulous book. It has statistics going up all the way up to like 92 or 93. But it goes through statistics on what happened after 1962 when America rejected. That same year, the Supreme Court rose up in the outlawed prayer in school, the outlawed public affection for Christ. They outlawed the Ten Commandments. Everything that went on in a school that was before 1962, they kicked out. But we know that America was founded on Christian beliefs.
Right.
Ain't that right? Yeah. Our forefathers showed us what a true nation was all about when they put Christ in government. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
Bear with me. Our first president showed us that he was a praying man. He believed in God. One of the famous paintings of George Washington was in Valley Forge, and it had him kneeling there praying.
Right.
History says that George Washington was a praying man.
Right.
He was the one that led our nation to believe that Christ is the center of government. Ain't that right?
Right.
But this chaos happened when God was kicked out of the equation.
Yes.
Things begin to take place when God is kicked out. Ain't that right?
Right.
Amen. Just bear with me. Well, Brother Branham screamed for America to repent. I read these quotes, so I'm going to read them again. It says, I'm predicting that this year America will receive Christ or reject Christ. See, I believe this will be the turning point that America will go in. And I believe that this is the year that America will make its decision in 1956. And then 1962, a testimony at sea. He says, everybody knows that I predicted that back in 56, when it would start ending, Billy Graham come back and Tommy Osborne and them. I said, this is it. America will either receive it or reject it this year. And they rejected it. We're nothing waiting but judgment. Now you mark that down and see if Brother Branham is right or not. That's thus saith the Lord. We're headed for it, and we're going to pay for what we've done. Amen. Brother Branham also said in 1959, what is the works of God? How can we escape the wrath that's coming upon the earth? If God lets this United States get by with this iniquity, he will be obligated to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize for burning them.
Right.
Is that right? Yeah. Brother Branham said also in 1963 indictment, remember, it will, it cannot, by no means, no mercy, when you blaspheme and call the Spirit of God, the Word of God, that's being vindicated by the Spirit. See, the Word says so. The Spirit is a vindicating it. And you call it an unclean thing, you cross the line between mercy and judgment and can never be forgiven of it. That's the reason why I indicted this generation of guilty, of crucifying, blaspheming the manifestation of the Son of God, was also promised by all the prophets and Christ himself to be in the last days. Like it was in the days of Noah, in the days of Sodom, blasphemy, which they crucified to the people, the Son of God, afresh. Ain't that right?
Right.
So we understand, once you get out behind the boundary of God, judgment will take place.
Amen.
Is it all right if I go through some of these statistics before I get going?
That's fine.
Amen. I had a paper of all of our founding father Stevens, but somehow I left it somewhere. But I'm going to go through some of these statistics here. Before the Supreme Court ruling took place, premarital sex, before at age 15 was 0%, age 16 was 6%, age 17 was 15%, age 18 was 23%. But after that took place, age 15 was now 30%. Age 16 was now 35%. Age 17 was 55%. And age 18 was now up to 70%. What happens? What happened?
Exactly.
God was kicked out.
Yeah.
God had a hedge around America. And this ain't my whole message. I'm not condemning anybody.
That's all right.
I just want you to realize what takes place when God is kicked out of the equation.
That's right. That's right.
What happens when you have God? Satan is at bay. You can see that with Job. Satan has told God, he said, you have a hedge around him.
Right.
I can't get to him. But what happens when that hedge is taken away?
Yeah.
A true Christian will find out if he's a true Christian or not once that hedge is gone.
That's right.
Look at Job. Amen. It said, through it all, he kept his integrity. Ain't that right?
Right.
But when God is taken out of the equation because of the stoutness and pride of your heart, Satan will come in. Also, before 1962, birth rates for unwed was only 15%. After God was kicked out of the equation, 45%. And that's births per 1,000 unwed girls. Per 1,000 is up to 45% now.
Yeah.
Divorce rates before was only at 23%. This is in 1992. After was 50%. We also look at alcohol use. This is only up to 1992. It says 23 million Americans, 20% whom are under the age of 18 have problems with alcohol. 8 million have taken more than 14 drinks per week, and 12 million suffer from alcoholism. There were approximately 3 million alcohol-related arrests in 1992. In 1992, more than 9 out of 10 high school seniors used alcohol, virtually all of whom were below the legal drinking age. It says, among students, 45% of boys, 25% of girls are heavy drinkers. Each year, 100,000 people die from alcohol use, of which is one-fourth of traffic fatalities. If you're looking at this, what's taking place here? Since the official exclusion of religion, 1962, this nation has undergone tremendous changes. Violent crime offenses have raised nearly 700% since 1962. National productivity has dropped 80%. Cases of sexual transmitted disease are up to 200%. Per capita, alcohol consumption has increased by one third. Amen. When you kick God out of the picture, certain destruction is bound to follow. Every time Israel turned to another God, judgment struck Israel. Ain't that right? Amen. Our president, Woodrow Wilson, said the nation which does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today, nor what it is trying to do. We are trying to do a futile thing if we do not know where we came from.
Right.
Or what we have been about.
Yeah, that's right.
You look through history, and this is all very simple. But the pilgrims left England for a certain purpose.
That's right.
He wanted freedom of religion.
Right.
And we can see in this day that that freedom of religion is slowly being taken away.
Amen.
Amen. But they left England on the Mayflower for a certain purpose. It was because they wanted to worship God in their own will, their own freedom, their own way. So we understand that they landed on Plymouth Rock, and we understand how things transpired and took place, and how the Revolutionary War had to come to get away from England, from the ties of England. Ain't that right? Because America wanted to be a sovereign nation. They wanted to be free of all the ties that bound them together. And these men all believed that Christ was the answer for their success. And Brother Branham taught us that, if you, I believe it was the $100 bill, I believe, that they had in the back, they're signing the Declaration of Independence. The $100 bill? Or is it the 50? What is it? Which one is it? I don't have one. I'll show you. But, well, I believe it's the back of the $100 bill. You see, if you look, there's a man in a top hat that's in the picture. He said that was God's angel. Go back and look it up. You can find it. Lord Brevis said that man in the top hat was God's angel, making sure the Declaration of Independence was signed. I wish I would have brought that quote. Some of y'all are like, "Not really in there?" I'll find it for you. Dad read it just the other day at church. But to get back on our topic of thought, a watchman, their job was to warn the people if danger was coming. Ain't that right? To sound the trumpet, the sound of the alarm would warn the people that danger was ahead, to get prepared for the oncoming danger that was to take place. A watchman is a person or group that watches as a lookout or a guard. We can see it if you look at pictures through history of the old ships or the pirate ships. They had a crow's nest. And what they would do in that crow's nest is they would climb up there. One guy would climb up there and look ahead, either say land ho, or to see if there was danger coming. That's what the crow's nest is all about. And Brother Branham said, watchman, one of the night. I'm so glad tonight that we still got some real watchmen. That's getting a group ready to get out of here. One of these days, because trouble is coming, make ready, for there is trouble approaching. And royal watchmen who are watching over the heritage of God's sheep, warn of them, make ready for the flight, for there will be a time when none will escape. Now, I believe we're all watchmen here tonight. Ain't that right?
Yes.
But there's a different set of watchmen called the fivefold ministry.
Yes.
That has been set to warn you of things that is to happen.
Amen.
Amen. They have thus saith the Lord, that destruction is coming. Prepare yourself to go. Now, if you have a pastor that has a concern for your soul, as what Tony does, I would cherish that pastor.
Right.
Come on now. He didn't ask me to say this, but I believe that every pastor should be respected to the highest authority.
Amen.
We have a pastor back home, my father. That's why I can know some of the stuff he goes through.
Yeah.
We don't. I'm just going to stop here for a minute, if that's all right.
Sure.
We don't understand what a pastor goes through. Things they have to fight. Being a pastor's son, I was able to see some of the inside of it. And see how he would come home crying because a group of people just came up to him and said, "We're leaving the church."
Yeah.
We had, or a pastor would be heart and cycle, he had to go counsel a marriage and they're wanting to split up. It takes a true gift of God, Brother Tony here, to be a true pastor.
Right.
There ain't no true pastors in the world today, is there?
Right.
Ain't that right?
Amen.
Why do you think he preaches so hard? Why do you think Brother Black preaches so hard? Why do you think ministers preach so hard? They're looking out for your well-being.
Right.
If you have a minister that is willing to sacrifice everything and preach you the gospel, love him,
amen,
cherish him. Because there ain't too many pastors that are looking out for your welfare.
Amen. That's right.
Ain't that right? I hate to say, there's a lot of pastors in the message that ain't looking out for their sheep's welfare.
That's right.
We see that with the occasion with that one pastor that left the message. What happened? Wasn't looking out for their welfare, was he?
Right.
Preaching doctrine that wasn't the prophet's message.
That's right. Yeah.
What happened? When you preach something like that, you're bound to fall. Amen. Anyway.
Amen.
Anyway.
Right.
Amen. I got some scriptures here. I think I just missed them all. You have to pardon me. I'm jumping way ahead of here. But God had this to say about pastors. Jeremiah 12, verse 10, it says, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden down my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate and bring desolate and mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth it to heart. Also in Jeremiah 10, verse 21, it says, for the pastors have become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and their flocks shall be scattered. You see, Brother Colby, the denomination of pastors are prospering. Yes, they are. In the natural, they have the money.
Right.
They have the fame. They have the popularity. They have the cars, the home. But you look at the heart.
Right.
The heart is the one that is dying.
Yes.
They have no love for the people, do they?
Right.
You know, I see many pastors in my young life. I'm only 23 years old. I've seen many pastors have more care for their pocketbook than they do for the hearts of the people.
That's right.
That is the spirit of the age. The more money I can make, I'll preach you whatever you want to hear, just as long as you pay me what I want.
Right.
We got brother. We got Joel Osteen. He has the biggest church in America at 100,000, I believe is what it is. 100,000. If you give a dollar, every person give a dollar, it's 100,000 a service. But you look at him. He has the beautiful smile, the hair that just perfect. I mean, seriously, how many's ever seen Joel Osteen? But he has no love for the people. How could you have a congregation that big and know the needs of the people?
Right.
My father has, I think, about 50 people. And he has trouble keeping up with all of them. Needs here. So many needy people. You don't get to know your congregation with that many people, do you?
That's right.
But they don't care for the people. They preach a good sermon that God is the God of love. Live any old way because God looks at the heart. Really. And they don't care what is taking place. Their blood of the people will be upon the pastor's
head. That's right.
That's
right. That's exactly
right. But, in all of that, I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah 3:15. I'd like you all to mark this in your Bible now. This is a good scripture. I read this when we have pastor appreciation services. When you're there, say amen. Jeremiah 3:15. I believe everyone should have this marked in the Bible. It says that I will give you pastors according to my heart. Whose heart? The Lord's. Which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's a true pastor.
Amen.
Someone that's willing to sacrifice his very well-being. Sacrifice everything that he knew to become a pastor. To pastor over you. Cherish him. Love him. Respect him. Listen to him. If he's leading you down the right path, follow. Ain't that right?
Right.
Amen. But let me ask you something. Would you rather be judged here or be judged there? That's a question I'd like to ask you. What is it? The Bible says in 1 Peter says, for the time has come that judgment first must begin at the house of God. That's on the pastor.
Yes.
He sees something in the church, he has to correct it. Ain't that right?
Yes.
And it comes first, begin at us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Also said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Brother Branham said, the mark of the beast. But you know, this is the house of judgment. Judgment first begins at the house of God, right?
Amen.
Here's where judgment begins. If you went here to court, and you was to have a trial, they got a book of law there. They have to read this law to find out what your judgment is for. And that's the way it is in the house of God. We have to take it from the Word of God. That's where the pastor gets his anointings from, the Word.
Right.
One thing a pastor knows, the Scripture knows, he's studying, he's searching, he's seeking the will of God. Ain't that right?
Right.
But that was where the ministers of this denomination system has failed. Where's the hellfire and brimstone that used to be preached?
Right.
They said, well, that's way too hard. People got saved back then.
Right.
Because of that ministry, because the preacher will preach it the way it is.
Right.
People were saved because of it.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, I wish these ministers would get a backbone instead of a wishbone.
Yes.
But he says, many men don't have the backbone to get up here and preach it.
Amen.
Ain't that right? So-and-so will be mad and walk out. Or this person here, I ain't going to pay my tithes. You know, we've had that in the church too. You step on someone's side. I told Dad, you know, I came today with a pair of army boots and a hat. I'm ready. Step on my toes.
Yeah.
But people don't want their toes stepped on.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Anyway, this ain't going the way I want it to, but.
That's right, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Where's the man that used to get up and preach, right is right and wrong is wrong anymore? Brother Branham said this. He said, you don't send yourselves to hell. God don't send you to hell. You send yourselves to hell.
Right.
Why is that? The warning has been preached in and out, day in, day out. Your family, your parents.
Yes.
Anyone that has the higher authority, even the younger, if they are trying to warn you what is to take place and you fail to heed the warning, you run roadblock after roadblock and send yourself to hell.
Yes.
Amen. But people haven't preached to forgive you of your sins. Where's the real Holy Ghost filled watchman of the day?
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
I'm looking at him right here. Yes. You are the Holy Ghost filled watchman of this hour.
Amen.
Where are the men that have the burdens of the people in their heart?
Yes.
That have the souls of the people. Amen. This ain't condemning mess. I'm just showing you what has taken place in this last age.
Amen.
This is what the bride has to warn people of.
Amen.
This is what the spirit that the bride is fighting.
Amen.
A system that is leading everyone to one world government. Ain't that right?
Right.
The Pentecostal church has now pledged our allegiance to the Roman Catholic Church. How many have ever seen that video?
Yes, that's right.
What has taken place? All the daughters are now going back to mother whore.
That's right.
This is what has taken place in this last age.
Right.
The Bible prophesied of it. When you see these things happening, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Yeah.
I didn't think we'd make it in 2015, but we're here.
Yes.
We're here for a purpose.
Yeah.
Our job, our responsibility as the one that can see ahead and see what has taken place through Scripture, through a prophet, must warn the people of what is happening.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Amen. Is that right? But we can see a spirit of deception creep into the denominational church, even into the message realm.
Yes.
It's the same spirit that was almost 400 prophets, wasn't it?
Right.
A lying spirit, a deceiving spirit. Oh, go out there. The land is yours.
That's right. That's right.
Micah came out and he let him know. He said, yeah, go on. Go on. Go out there. But I see you as scattered sheep. Ain't that right?
That's right.
But Ephesians 4 says this. Therefore, for that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, but are by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Yes.
Amen. The scripture does say it'd be so close it would deceive the very elect if
that's
it was
right.
possible. Ain't
right.
that right?
Yes.
But it's the same spirit that we're fighting today. Brother Bram taught it. It's the same spirit but in a different form. Every age, you can see how technology has progressed throughout the years. Ain't that right?
Right.
You can see it. You go from the automobile. If you see anyone driving those old time, what are those things called? Model T's?
Mm-hmm.
What they're called? They're beautiful cars. I wouldn't mind having one just to have as an antique, you know. But they go from the Model T to the train, to the plane. Now we have a rocket in space. What has transpired? Brother Brad taught us the last 100 years, Satan is getting smarter. He has 6,000 years to perfect his Eden. And now the Eden is perfected, ain't it?
Right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's a beauty. Excuse me for saying it, but you got everything you ever need of. You got iPhones. You can search anything you want on an iPhone.
Yeah.
I got the message on my phone.
Yeah.
You got technology and anything you ever want. You got the earpieces and you got, you know, Bluetooth speakers and everything else you ever need of. I was showing Brother Matt today the newest Ford that just came out called the Ford Atlas. The cars have went way beyond what they used to be.
Right.
Why is that? Because we're living in an age where Satan has become the god of the age.
That's right.
Brother Branham preached a message called what? Satan's Eden, I believe is what it was.
Yeah.
And he taught us that this is Satan's Eden. God, Satan wanted to be god. That's the reason why he was kicked out of heaven.
Right.
Ain't that right?
Yeah.
He said, I wanted to be like the Most High. I would ascend above the heavens. God kicked him out of heaven. What now? Satan has become god in this age. So every spirit you have to fight, Satan is the god of it.
Yep.
Amen.
Right.
All right, let's move on. I got just a little more. Just a little more. So bear with me, guys. I haven't been up here too long.
Nope, no, no. Good.
Okay. It says here in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10, it says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and then that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. How do you think men can get up there and put a show on TV? Mm-hmm. You ever watch, you know, sometimes at a hotel we'll flip on the TV and, you know, it's like TBN. Have you ever seen TBN?
Yes.
It's amazing what they do.
Yeah.
You know, how the shows that they put on, you know, there's a million or so people watching in there. You know, they're like, I can feel someone has a headache. Really. Really. But if you send a seed of $100, we'll pray for you and your headache will be gone.
Yeah.
People are falling for this delusion,
right,
or a deception by the millions.
Yep.
Why do you think people won't go to church? Who do they trust? They're trying to find a church that they trust. They go in here and they take an offering three times a day, or they go here and take all they're doing is taking my money. I've talked to a person the other day and they said, I won't go back to church. I said, why? All they want is my money. That is the lie Satan has put in front of the people.
Yeah.
Money, 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 prosperity, prosperity. All the messages they preach, prosperity. What about prosperity for your soul?
Amen.
Instead of for your pocketbook, what about the love for the people? Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Anyways. Once you spread a lie, you preach a lie, you live a lie day in and day out, you start believing your own lie, and you become another lie. That's what the preachers have become. Every person you come in contact with will spread that lie. They feed off your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anyway, so I hope I'm not boring you all this morning. But 1 Timothy says, by the Spirit speaking expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. We can see that in our government, our politics. Who do we elect? Who do we believe? I don't believe in election. I don't elect personally. But who's the right man for the job? I believe every president that gets in office is a tool in the hand of God. Ain't that right?
Amen.
One president is going to lead it to a one world government. Ain't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
But our prophet told us that this would happen. Well, I see in my little life at our church, I see many people that I've loved and cherished and kids that I grew up with going this way and that way. Friends, you know, family. I had a guy that I grew up with, but it's back my dad's age. He was a good buddy of mine. Real good friend. He's like family. He quit the church years ago and left. And just, I guess, last year, year before, something like that, he was killed in a car wreck. We see things like this happening. Your heart breaks out. My dad broke down. He said, I wish there was something I could do to get to him before he would have passed on. Dad talked to him. My dad's talked to him. But what happened? Their mind is seared. There's no love for the gospel. What? Back in Paul's day, I believe someone preached on that Wednesday night. How 3,000 were saved in one 20-minute service. You try that today. I'm a 20-minute preacher normally. I don't see 3,000 people rush to the altar.
Right.
It's a different time. It's not, this is the harvest time that has taken place. Isn't that right? But it says this here. I got just a few more pages and I'll hush up. But 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1 says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the covenant of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letters asked from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, For that day shall come, not come except there come a great falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. As the scripture said, as it was in the days of Noah, where all 8 souls were saved, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Ain't that right? I'm just going to skip all this, and I don't want to bore you all here tonight. But the future home of the heavenly 1964, Noah was the type of the remnant that was carried over. Not the translated books. Enoch, one man, was in the rapture before the flood came, showing that the church does not go into the tribulation or anything around it. Enoch was translated, one man. All the church may be a number, but the bride is going to be a very small group that will make up the bride. Now the church may be a great number, but the bride, you see, compare 8 with 1. 8 times less will be the bride than the church. But Branham is telling us that there's a lot of people that claim to be the bride.
Right.
There's only going to be a few that are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Ain't that right?
Yes, it is.
We understand that the death angel was striking the land. We've got two seals that are taking place today. Ain't that right? The seal of God and the mark of the beast.
Right.
Similar to Kobe, how do I know that I'll have the seal of God? What does the Bible say? If seal of those who are crying and sighing for the abominations done in the city.
Right.
And we can see the ball. How many's crying and sighing?
Amen.
How many's ready to go home?
Amen.
Just as Egypt was going through tribulation, the death angel was struck on the lamb. Israel had the token applied. They have the blood on the doorpost. We must have the seal applied. We must have the token applied. Ain't that right?
Yes, man.
Well, I got one thing as musicians come. You know, we live in an element called time, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Right.
This element governs the way we walk, the way we live. We have a job, we've got to be there at 7:30, get off at 4. We're governed by a calendar, we're governed by months, years, minutes. This time is, we have to rotate our daily life around time. Brother, if I could find the scripture, I wasn't planning on saying this, but I was saying that one day is 1,000 years to God, and 1,000 years is one day.
Right.
And I heard a preacher come by, and he was breaking this 1,000 years down to our time, natural time element, and how we have 24 hours in a day, and we have 365 days in a year. And he was breaking this down, and he showed me how to do it, and I don't have time to show y'all. But I was looking through, if 1,000 years is one day to God, me and myself am only 30 minutes old right now.
That's right.
Think about
you're
it.
Correct.
Your average lifespan is 70 years, unless God permits you to go on further. Average lifespan is 70 years. That's meant a lot of time.
Yeah.
So if I lived up to 70 years old, in God's economy of time, it's only 2 hours.
That's right.
So, I'm only here for 30 minutes. But Matthew's younger than me, so he's probably here for only 25 minutes. Some of y'all are here for 45 or an hour. What I'm saying is, we don't have much time.
Yeah, right.
And we stop and look at the grand scheme of things. He said, wow, I've been here for 80 years. Only a little over 2 hours to God.
Yes.
I'm asking a question. What will you do with your 2 hours? What will you do with your 30 minutes?
Yeah.
We may go out today, God forbid. I'm not saying anything about that. We may go out and have a wreck. We may go out and something transpire. I had an aunt, 30 years old. And I remember song leading on Wednesday night, and she was just, I could tell something was bothering her. Her head was hurting. And so she went home, and she's still in major pain. So Brother Sean, my uncle, Sean Martin, took her to the hospital Wednesday night. Thursday morning, 8 hours later, she was dead.
Yep.
You never know. I had a good buddy of mine named Jonathan McGeary out flying a plane with some buddies of his, and 22 years old, had a plane crash and died. A good buddy of mine, groomsman at my wedding. You stop and you look. Life is so fragile, little people, elders. Say, well, you hear this before. Well, I'm just saying, you don't have much time to warn the people. That was you're the last morning.
Yes.
You're what's holding back God's wrath. I'm saying, really. For the benefit of you are God's mercy in this dying generation. That's you. You, me, I'm not a preacher. You're God's mercy. The way the world sees you, the way you conduct yourself, is what the world's looking at. I use these illustrations like, you know, they got some beautiful waterfalls out. Like what the Victorian waterfall, I think Australia, I believe is where it is. The biggest waterfall in the world. You got Niagara Falls, you know, one of the biggest ones in the U.S. The biggest one in the U.S., I should say. I say you're going to try to dam up that waterfall. Dam off the force of the waterfall. The people down below may feel just a little bit of that effect. A little bit of that effect. Feel a little bit of the breeze, but you take that waterfall away, they'll feel the full percussion of it. You're what's holding back God's wrath. The world feels it.
Yeah.
You can feel God's judgment upon the earth. You can feel a little bit of it. But wait until the bride's gone.
Right.
You think it's bad now. Friends, this ain't even close. But you're what's holding your husband's wrath back. Mm-hmm. You are the bride. You are one with God. That's what everything's been all about. When the rapture takes place, we're not going to a marriage. We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb because the marriage is taking place here.
Yes, that's right.
When we leave here, we should be in such unity with God, such unity in the faith, such unity as oneness with Him. Is that right?
Yes.
So tonight, my last thought, what are you going to do with your time that you have here? Every person you come in contact with, or I've been talking with guys at our work. You know, I was talking with a lady just the other day, and she was trying to go through the Trinity Doctrine with me, you know, and go on and this, that, and I was like, explain scripture with her. She thought, what? I've never heard of that. Like, yeah. So just think about it. I was going through the Trinity, and I said, just think about it. I believe that the Trinity is God in three different forms. She's like, what? I said, yeah, look at me. Look at me. I'm a son. I'm a father. Mm-hmm. And I'm a husband. Now, does that make me three different people? She goes, what? They never heard it.
That's right.
The Catholic is preaching, you know, Trinity. You gotta be baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. People are asking, "Where's truth? What is truth? What am I to accept?" People are traveling the world trying to find what is truth. They're searching, and they don't realize that truth is on their doorstep.
Right. Right.
Truth is right here in this little town here. Truth is in Pawnee, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with the time you got? That's what I'm against. I didn't mean to bore y'all this morning.
No, no, no.
But I thought this was interesting. It's actually a two-part series that I preached at home just to, you know, Wednesday nights. It took just a little bit of time and took two parts out of it. And I had the book, and I read out of the book. But anyways, so I put them both together. I wanted y'all to understand the hour we're living in. We're not in the first age anymore. Mm-hmm. We're not in the second or third. We're in the last age, the seventh age, where all the powers that were in every age is now combined. What does the Bible say? There's 200,000 demons in this age.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
They're wanting to stop you from making a rapture.
Right.
But just as there's demons in the age, there's a bride that's combating those very demons.
Amen.
And they will stand and they will be overcomers. They have pledged their allegiance to God. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Can we sing that song, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb? I believe it's Effigy, I think. You'll have that in your ear.
Yeah, it's in there.
I pledge allegiance.
Oh,
stand to your feet, help us sing it. With all my strength, with all song in unity, Lord, because this is the hour that we must choose who we're going to fight for. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, as we sing this song, we pledge our allegiance. Lord, that's our New Year's resolution, so to speak, Father, this year. We're going to serve you even more than we served you last year. Serve you with a greater passion and greater desire, Father. We're going to witness to more people for you, Lord. Because that's what we're here for. We're here as the watchman that's in the watchtower, Lord, and looking out for danger. Can see danger coming and warning the people. So this morning, Lord, I pray that each heart here got what I was saying, Lord. I know it was slow. No, it wasn't very deep, Father. But I pray that your little bride got what I was trying to say, Lord. May they take bits and pieces that I preached, Lord, and apply it to their lives. We love you and we thank you for everything you've done for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Can we sing the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus? Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Don't turn it back. Don't turn it back. Cross before me the early highway. Cross before me. I'm
want to say you're not going to turn back now.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Say amen to the word this morning.
Yes.
It was good. I enjoyed it. Amen. I really appreciate it. The bride is, he mentioned that the bride is, you know, we have the mind of the Lord. There's one people on the face of the earth that's truly in fellowship with him and actually knows. Because, you know, a husband shares his thoughts and wife, they share their thoughts to each other. And so we have the mind of God. And because of that, because we have a message that comes from him, that equips us to be able to go out there to the world and be that last voice for that last age. Amen?
Yes, sir.
You have to believe that. You know, you have to believe and know that you're in fellowship with him, and you can take this to the world and be that last final voice for the final age, be that final warning.
Yes, sir.
It's a sobering thought to realize that, but that's the way it is. The same flood that saved Noah condemned the world. The same message the bride lives will save some, will condemn others.
Right.
But that's the way God has done it. That's his program. It's not ours. And so, but, you know, we have that message, and that gives us a responsibility to go out there and give it to the world, not to just, you know, to live it, but not just to be a testimony against them, but to show them there is hope.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
Because like the brother said, there's people out there that, you know, I was witnessing to a guy a couple of days ago in Home Depot. And I just, you know, we stood there and I just was, you know, you just share the message to them. That's all, you know, necessarily say, well, God sent a prophet, but you're sharing him the things that God has poured out into us. And I talked to him for about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. And he looked at me, he said, I got a question for you. He said, tell me what you think about the Godhead. Now, I'm saying that because what? It's kind of like the woman at the well. She, you know, she had a desire in her heart to know about the Messiah. And when she come and encountered Jesus, after just a moment, she realized he was a prophet. And as soon as she realized he was a spiritual man and somebody that she could listen to and could ask questions, she began to ask him questions.
Yes,
and that's what I'm saying is, you be salty. There's people out there who are still thirsty. And you begin to share with them, you live it, they're going to ask you, because that's the way it's designed.
Right.
Brother Colby mentioned the prophecy where Brother Branham in 1956, he said, I predict that America will either receive it this year or reject it. And he was quoting you a quote out of 1963 where Brother Branham refers back to that. Well, I did a study on that one time, and that was when my wife and I had just lost our son, Joseph, and I did a study at that time. And it was January 1957. So he said either in 1956 they'll either receive it or reject it. And in January 1957, Brother Bram said it's over. He referred back to that and said it's done. Now I say that to ask you this, and I'm going somewhere with this. Has it gotten better, or did it go? Has it gotten worse?
Got worse.
Now, you and I know that, but I want to appeal to our young people, because we're older ones now, and we can look and we've seen the years, and we've seen the degradation of humanity and what it's gone to. But to our young people, it hasn't been around that long. But just to show you, when you put God outside, this is what happens. When you don't include him in everything about your life and everything you do, and you put him to the side and say, I don't have time for him, you can expect things to go downhill. And that's just how it works.
Right.
And so this generation, you know, they don't want to admit it, but there is a curse upon them. He mentioned the Israel and how that they judgment was coming from God, and how they said, we'll build stronger.
Right.
You know, how many's heard Brother Graham say the scriptures are compound meaning, compound revelation?
Yes.
When that was written, right there, it was written about Israel. But God's infinite. It was also written about America.
Right.
Israel had received a spirit of defiance.
Right.
And when God was trying to correct them and bring them back in line, that spirit of defiance made them defy God, and that was their answer back to him and saying, you know, we're not going to bow down to your correction. We're going to defy you.
Right.
And look what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, today, America got away, and God has tried to warn America, and America got anointed of the same rebellious, defiant spirit and said and did the same thing. When the leaders of the nations actually pulled out that scripture, you know, it just goes to show you they don't read their Bible.
Right.
Because if they just read a little bit before and a little bit after, they'd have said, there's no way I'm going to read that scripture.
Right.
But they just grabbed it and laid it out there and said, you know, we're resilient. We're going to come back. We're going to be stronger. And they, why? Because they've got that anointing. So there's your compound meaning, compound revelation. There's your infinite God. There's the judgment of God upon this nation, just like it was Israel. Go see if Israel got free. See if they actually defied God and it worked for them. It didn't work for them.
No, sir.
And it won't work for this nation. It won't work for anybody who wants to defy God. It's so interesting to me. But the very one who loves you more than anybody else, and the very one who's able to help you more than anyone else, and that's the one they defy. And so we sure don't want to be that way. We don't want to be found doing that. And so, you know, it's a serious hour because we have people. I was thinking this morning, I think about 16 different people that's no longer here in this church. And most of them are gone because of the defiance against the message. It's something they once embraced. Now they're against it. That's a very, very serious matter. And I know God is a just God and can you know, weed those things out. But if you look in scriptures, that's pretty serious. And so we don't want to count it but a light thing. We want to know that when we go from this place today, we're packing a message that can change lives. I was talking to Mary last night texting. And I said, you know, we really are. We're in an hour where we're going to have to believe God more. But He hears our prayers.
Right.
He will do what He said He will do. And we're just going to go from this place. And as time goes on, we're going to stop doubting who we are. We're going to go forth as the bride of Christ, packing that message, and we're going to see God do exactly what He said He would do. It won't be a public showing to the world, but in our little circle of influence, you're going to see God move.
Right?
Right? But you gotta take what you are and what God has made you and go out there with it and be it. Don't be a coward down. Go out there and walk with. That's one thing I like about Brother Daniel. You walk in and the way he conducts himself and his job and those things, you can see that he has an integrity about his walk, that he's happy to serve God in the midst of whatever. You see, and that's what we've got to do. We gotta endeavor to live and say, you know what? You have somebody you work with and they come down sick, don't be afraid to tell them you serve a God that can answer their prayer. And if they respond back to you with the right kind of response when you give that, you'll see God meet their needs.
Yes, sir.
See, but you got to do it. You can't just hide in the corner. That's why the scriptures say it's a city that's set on the hill can't be hid. God don't want you to be hid. He don't want you to be that candle that's put under a bushel. See? Because we're the last hope this world has.
That's right.
So go out there and be that last hope. Amen. I mean, love what they heard this morning.
Amen.
That's good stuff.
Amen.
Wish we could have had, you know, both versions of it there, both part one and part two separately instead of one all condensed. And I know it probably was a real fast thing, you know, asking him yesterday if he'd be interested in ministering for us. But anyway, I appreciate her, brother. Accommodating us, and I believe the Lord did share things that needed to be. You know, that's the thing about it with the Bride of Christ. You know, I know if you walked in ignorance, it probably wouldn't be this way and just did stupid things. But when we have a sincere heart before God, and we seek after the Lord for His leadership and what to do, and we follow that, it's impossible for Him to put somebody up here that won't tell you what you need to hear. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not just you see what I'm saying? Because why? Because He chose us. He is interested in us.
Yes.
See, we're His choice.
Sure.
So, anyway, we just thank our brother and his family coming. And I know it's hard on the body, but praise God. So as we get ready to close service, I just want to remind you to be praying for each of those, the prayer requests that were given. Sister Pansy, Sister Vicky not feeling good. My Aunt Mary, she's not been feeling well. Different ones. Pray for the Roberts family. Yes. My wife's going to be flying out on Tuesday and she'll be gone 2 weeks. That's the first time that's ever happened. So pray for Ben and Anna and Tony. Because we're going to be home without her. You may think that's funny, but you know, God knew what He's doing when He put a mommy in the
Amen.
Home.
That's right.
He sure did. He knew what he was doing when he gave me my wife. So, yes. you know, pray for Brother Tony and Brother Ben and Sister Anna. but mainly pray that my wife's trip will go well and that she'll be able to be the blessing she needs to be there with my oldest daughter, Rachel, and her newborn and her husband. And you know, if you've ever had a child, you know, mommy and daddy, you know what it's like, those first few days especially, but it's everything's different, and it really puts a test on who you are, and if you're not serving the Lord, so just be, you know, pray that the Lord will minister to them, and they'll see something in there that'll help them, you know, and that they'll be established and maybe drawn back to the Lord in it. So anyway, so remember those that are sick, Sister Gloria, her mother. It blesses my heart to see people when they're in need say so to the body of believers that they belong to. Mm-hmm. Yes, what it does, it hurts me inside, it hurts my feelings. You know, and I know you got to be thick-skinned or whatever, but when you have people that go to church with you and they go through something and don't ask the believers to pray and don't, you know, that really just, we're part of a body, but it really blesses me when they do ask for help, they do call, they do send a text or whatever and say, pray for me, and it shows their commitment to that body.
Sure.
And that, and I know God works through it that way. So, yes. Amen. We're going to bow our hearts just in prayer as we get ready to go and thank the Lord for what He's done. Heavenly Father, we do thank You this morning, Lord, for what we've heard. Lord, I pray that You allow us by Your grace in this evil age, You allow us by Your grace to take the things we've heard this morning to heart.
Thank You, Lord Jesus.
Lord, that even the words He spoke about a pastor and the honor that should go to that office and those things, Lord, that I would take the other side, the other quotes. Lord, the responsibility and the sincerity, Lord, that God, that those things that are right, Lord, that they would just grow and grow and strengthen more in us, me and Your people, Lord. This body be knit together even that much closer. And Lord, that You would do exploits among us. We're not interested, God, in trying to say to the world, look at us, we have miracles. Lord, we just want to meet the needs of the people, both inside this assembly and to those we can reach out there in the world.
Yes.
Not to draw a name to ourselves, Lord, but to draw people to You, God, that they could find their confidence in You in this hour where things are just so shaken up and coming to an end, Lord, that they would find hope in You. And that Your desire of Your heart to be their Savior would be fulfilled. We ask, God, that You'd help us in each one, every way. As we go to fellowship, we ask, God, that You'd be with us. Be with the little ones as they play.
Yes.
Lord, just help everybody be safe and happy and unharmed. And may You be in the midst of everything that's said and done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And God bless you, Brother Tim. Give us all.
I'll stand for Jesus. Let the world go by. Our fame is promised. He will survive. We'll walk together, the Lord and I. I'll stand for Jesus. Let the world go by.
Touch the family.
May the testimony.